a very peaceful and a very fulfilling journey.
You shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be eating pork. Yeah. You shouldn't be going to clubs or anything like that. So,
in really accepting my place in life as a Muslim.
Did you get a chance to watch that? What was your reaction?
Some of the most disciplined people that I know are very religious. It's really fascinating, it's particularly fighters. Like a lot of the Islamic fighters.
And it just made so much more sense. Did John Jones also say it?
Well, I converted. I'm now Muslim.
I'm good, sir. How you doing?
Oh, man. Alhamdulillah. God is so good.
Yeah, I think you said it perfect right there. Been a Muslim your whole life. I was so caught up in, oh, what do I look like? Oh, is everybody looking at me? Oh, I even had that misconception.
A little further, and he fell on his face and prayed to who, himself? No, he prayed to God.
And I'll look them in the face. No, I'm Muslim. I will die a Muslim.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace. I have a surprise for you. Some amazing news. I recently found out that a very famous veteran, formerly with the UFC by the name of Kevin Lee, who is an American former lightweight champ, professional mixed martial artist. He formerly competed with the UFC, EFC, and is recently on ESPN. He bravely, courageously announced that he had accepted submission to the creator, not the creation, Islam.
I've accepted Islam, right? I've converted over to Islam.
Now, I really want to know, just like you do, what led him to make this decision? Is it all the scientific proof mentioned in the Quran?
Embryo in the Quran cannot be based on scientific knowledge in the seventh century. Discovered until the 20th century. These facts could only have been revealed to Muhammad by the one known who knows all about us.
Is it a simple message of the purpose of life with a lucid and clear belief in the absolute oneness of the Creator? Is it the brotherhood, the moral code? Is it the love of Jesus as a mighty messenger? I love a chance to ask Kevin Lee myself all these questions and more. Would you guys like that? Should we get Kevin Lee on the Dean Show? Should we? Well, that's my surprise to you. Alhamdulillah, we got him here with us for this special episode of The Dean Show with Kevin Lee.
We have one God, His name's Allah, Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show, the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How you doing, brother?
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing great. I'm feeling great. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Very nice. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for accepting the invitation.
Yes, yeah. Thank you for extending it.
So ESPN, you're on ESPN. Like many of us, we saw this short clip there.
I've accepted Islam, right? I've converted over to Islam.
How did it lead up to that you came out? I don't even know what the question was before or after. I just saw that clip. Can you kind of go ahead and fill us in how it came to that? What made you come out on ESPN to officially announce that you had accepted Islam?
Yeah, I've been pretty selective with the media that I've been doing, especially in the last 2 years. I feel like I've been through an extended period of personal growth. And in this, while we're negotiating my fighting career, while I'm getting ready to sign a new contract with different organization, the conversation that we were having just kind of led to it, and it led to the announcement almost. It wasn't like I planned it beforehand, but inshallah and mashallah, it worked out perfectly. And I think it was just in due time that I actually make the announcement and tell people and kind of let people in a little bit more into my personal life. My religion and my faith is a personal thing. So my family, everyone around me have known for over a year plus, but it was time that I let the public know as well.
Yeah, it's correct. It's you actually made that decision back in 2021, right?
Yeah. It was October of 2021 where I officially walked into a mosque for the first time, and I officially said the deen and was accepted.
Share that with me now. Share that experience. First time walking into a mosque, because I'm trying to get, you know, the whole world to come and connect, because we got so many misconceptions, stereotypes. And, you know, there's this false fear that's created. But how was it, you know, that first time you go ahead and you step in and you make that now that decision, I'm going to go into mosque and see for myself what's going on with these Muslims? You know, what how was that experience life? And what led you again to make that even decision to go ahead and step into a mosque for the first time?
Yeah, I think you said it perfect right there, that there is a misconception. And I even had that misconception, right? I can remember as a child, my aunt was always Muslim, right? She her name Veronica Muhammad, and you know, she would take me with my cousin a few times to a few mosques, but I'm very young at this time, right? I'm 7-8 years old, but everyone in my family, everybody in the community, everybody kind of had these stigmas around Islam and Muslims, to where I didn't take it serious. My heart was closed off because of how everyone kind of always portrayed the religion. So I never really even took it serious. It's been like a few years, and I don't know how much you want to kind of dig into this and how much, you know, you want me to talk about it necessarily, but I do feel like it's important.
However much you feel comfortable, you know, we'll dig as much as you feel comfortable. Yeah.
Okay. I do feel, you know, it's important to give people a good storyline that they can follow, that they can understand to get to a better understanding, you know?
Yeah, tell us about that, please.
So I want to say this all started in 2018. 2018 was the first time that I really kind of had my eyes open. And for me, fighting is a huge part of my life, right? I've been a professional for over 11 years now. And it was before my fight with Rafael Dos Anjos. I was fighting a former world champion for the first time. And in the locker room of that fight, like, it's hard for me to explain, right? It's hard to explain some of these things if you haven't experienced it. But it was almost as if my eyes had been, like, changed a little bit. Like, they had been open. And it was strange because I didn't necessarily know what it meant. And I'm getting ready for this big fight. And, you know, I'm in the locker room. I'm getting ready to walk out. And I can remember walking with, like, this crazy confidence. Like, I just knew everything seemed to be in sync. Everything seemed to be coming together. I didn't necessarily know what it meant, right? I end up losing that fight, which created a lot of confusion. Like, why would this happen in the locker room? And I end up losing the fight. And I went on a crazy, and that's kind of what started this whole journey and this whole path to what does it all mean? I feel like Allah was speaking to me and God was speaking to me in that night. And it took me a long time to recognize the voice and to understand it and to come to the understanding. And I didn't really get my heart didn't really open up to it being Allah and to being a Muslim was the path that'll get me closer to it until about 2020, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm kind of rambling a little bit, and I feel like I'm going too far.
No, no, it's going good. You got 2018. You got something going on now, and you're, you know, at the point we all come to a point. I mean, well, we all have our personal journeys that we go through, and then, you know, you're getting in, jumping in a cage, you're risking your life, and now you're thinking like, you know, what's this all about now? What's is it the question that's coming, that's simmering, like, what's the purpose of life? What's it all about? You know what I mean? I can imagine, Kevin. Look, I often give this example. Like, imagine you jump into this cage. And there's no goal, ultimate goal at the end. There's nothing. There's no, like, no, no winner. There's no points. There's nothing. It's just like random. You know what I mean? But what about life? You know? So are you hit? Is that that's what you're hitting to at this? Yeah. Is this what's going on? Point in your life?
Exactly. Exactly. That was kind of the point I was hitting at in 2018. What does it all mean, right? And
what does it all mean? What does it all mean? That's the question. Okay.
And I'm so used to just kind of, okay, just buckling down and just doing what I'm used to doing, right? Just go back to fighting, go back to what you're used to doing, which is what I did in 2019, right? 2019 was a great year for me. I made necessary adjustments. I felt like I got closer and closer to the path that I needed to be on. That was the year that I fought at Madison Square Garden and all these great things started happening, right? And then my humbleness kind of went away. I started saying, "Oh, it was me that did this. Oh, it was me." It was like, "Oh, because I'm the man. That's why."
You start doing the chest bump, huh? Pointing to you.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay, of course. This is supposed to happen this way. I'm putting in all this hard work, so I'm doing all of this, and that's why these good things are happening."
Yeah. I call that the Conor McGregor, you know, the
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So tell us more. Keep going. This is yeah.
I was feeling it, and then I got smacked with a reality check in 2020. I think that's when my heart was forced kind of open. You know, it had been closed off. But after I fought Charles Oliveira, which was a great fight, right? I felt like I was winning that fight. It was a great fight in the moment, but it just after the fight, it was so impactful to me, and it really made me sit and search and think, and it made me it just made me realize, like, I'm not necessarily the one that's in charge of this whole thing. You know, you have to I almost had to let go. I had to let go and just surrender myself, and it took me almost a year before I actually accepted that and actually realized that that's what I needed to do. It wasn't until May of that year that I started looking towards Muslims, that I started kind of opening my heart up a little bit, that I started listening just a little bit more, and it just made so much more sense. And on my birthday, I had an experience where I felt like God really came to me, and he told me, "Hey, listen, you've been a Muslim your whole life. You just haven't accepted it. You just haven't listened. You've been stuck in your own hubris. You've been stuck in your own ego for so long." My birthday's in September, and after that experience, I decided, okay, I'm actually gonna open my heart and actually listen and follow through. And since then, it's been an amazing journey. Since then, I've gained more clarity each and every day. I feel like every day I put my face on the ground and I thank Allah for giving me this breath, for allowing me to step, and I'm going to continue to just step in his shoes, and it's a very peaceful and a very fulfilling journey. For how you were saying, it's just, oh, I'm just fighting, and there's no end goal. You know, there's some money to be made. Yeah, sure. But I'm just fighting just to fight. Now I feel like I'm fighting for a different reason, and the fight is every day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, it has me thinking, and I just want to bridge this gap here, because that's what we kind of try to do, is try to define these terms, help the average American, the average person, you know, understand. Like, when we say Muslim, you know, this is so close to home when you understand the meaning. A Muslim is just simply one, when you define it, one who submits his or her will to the creator of the heavens and earth. That's what a Muslim is, right?
Correct.
And you just came back, as we say, there's a statement by the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, is when someone accepts Islam, they're just coming back to that natural way. You know, they're coming back to that submission, because you're submitting to something. You're either submitting to your desires, you're submitting to money, fame, to a human being. You came back to that natural way of worshiping just the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's something that makes so much sense. And you mentioned Allah, people are going to see now that Jesus, peace be upon him, he spoke Aramaic, and he would say Allah. He would also call on God Allah. So this is now, it's like helps people understand better, you know, so they're not thinking something foreign, you know. And then I mentioned earlier in the show, you had the greatest American hero of all time, Muhammad Ali. He was a Muslim. He was one who's following that same way of life. Tell me this. So now, how is it? And you said you put your face on the ground. If someone opens up the Bible and quote sees Jesus, and he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed to who, himself? No, he prayed to God, just like you. You're doing the same way. How was that experience? And you see Habib doing it after his fights also. He's saying Alhamdulillah. He's praising God.
Yeah.
We even saw John Jones saying Alhamdulillah. You know? Yeah.
Did he? Did John Jones also
he,
say it?
He said it. Yeah, I can send you the clips.
Well, I converted. I'm now Muslim.
I'm good, sir. How you doing?
Oh, man. Alhamdulillah. God is so good.
I did a program on this. And this is kind of like saying hallelujah, like all praise to not yourself, you know, but to, like Habib does, like pointing up to above, God. You know, to the creator. That's it. So how is it now when you first made what's called sajda, when you put your face on the ground, you humbled yourself, you know, how was it? Malcolm X, when he did this the first time, he said things would never be the same. You know what I mean? It was just that humbleness, you know, just connecting with God Almighty. How was your experience with that when you first time? And then now you're continuing, obviously, to establish the prayer.
When I first did it, right, and I'm going to try to be as candid and as open as possible.
Yes, please.
When I first did, it was so foreign, and it was such a – it took a lot, right? It took a lot for me to just kind of bow down, really, like literally and figuratively.
That's what Malcolm was talking about, yes.
Yeah, it took an incredible amount of I don't necessarily know the word for it, but it just took a lot. And the first time that I did, I was so caught up in, oh, what do I look like? Oh, is everybody looking at me?
Yeah.
Oh, what is? I was so caught up in my own ego of being here still. I want to say it took me about a good 4 or 5 months before I really just now it's such a peaceful and it's such a rich ritualistic thing to me that I don't necessarily think about it. It just gives me peace now, right? It just gives me it's almost like walking, you know. I don't, after you do it for so long, you don't even think about it. That's just normal. But the first time, I'll have to say, it's hard. It's very hard.
Would you say because you were fighting what's called the nefs? You were fighting your inner self. It's that what we call jihad, that struggle now.
Yeah. Right?
And it was that tug of war back and forth. So you had to you had to submit it.
Right. And it's hard to know who to give into, right?
Yeah.
And I think you said, it good earlier, is even people who don't necessarily recognize themselves as Muslims, they're still giving it to something, right? That's just a way of human nature. You're gonna bow down to something. And I think I've spent so long in bowing down to my own ego and my own, what's the word you use for it?
Nefs. This is that, this is the nefs. This is the ego. This is the self, you know, the inner self that wants this, wants that, wants, you know, that fulfillment, you know, other than what you get, what you're giving it, all the things that can be harming it or harmful for it, you know?
Mm. Okay. See, exactly. That's a great way of putting it. And I'm still learning a lot. I think that was a very hard battle to first have. But what's kept me on the path, and you've even mentioned it, I think the greatest fighters in the world and the greatest fighters in history have always been Muslim. And they've always accepted that. You talk about Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson. I feel like Floyd Mayweather, even though Floyd isn't coming out publicly and saying it, he still lives his life in a lot of the same way that Muslims do.
Is there something we don't know? Did Floyd Mayweather, did you hear something? Does he come into Islam, investigating Islam, Floyd Mayweather? Did he accept this?
I've heard rumblings, but you're not going to hear it directly from me. Yeah. I think that's a very personal thing. So
yeah, I got
that
you.
Had
okay.
to be something that you have to ask him. But as far as living his life and living his life in the correct way and praying I think he's very much along that path. Yes.
Tell me this. You've also been blessed. To how important is it with good companionship, good friends? You got Brother Saeed, who's around you also. He's your coach, one of your coaches, and he's someone like him and others, you know. Did you get a chance to spend some time also with Habib? Was he able to also be a good influence on you and others like that? Seeing, you know, what's different about these guys, you know, we could be out doing business, but a time comes and now they're like, hold on, we got to go pray. Hold on. Yeah. We're not going to go drinking. Hold on. Let's go to the club, you know, after party, yeah. right? Nick Diaz, like, I'll meet you at the after party. No, we ain't going to after party. Right? So did these things stand out?
Absolutely. And I think the first person to introduce me to that is Faraz Zahabi.
Our brother Faraz Zahabi, mashallah.
Yeah.
Good brother.
Yeah. He was the first person to introduce me to it without really doing it directly, right? Just by seeing the way that he lived and seeing the way that he operated. I went to him in 2019 and like I told you, that's the year that I felt like I shined the most. I was spending the most amount of time with him in Canada. Before this whole craziness with COVID and all that stuff is going on. Faraz, my brother Saeed, there's been a lot of people, especially since I made the announcement, that have come out and given me support. And they're all super disciplined. They have the thing that I've always lacked. And I feel they don't beat themselves. I haven't met a devout Muslim yet that beats themselves in the way that I have before.
I remember you reminded me now, Faraz Zahabi. Yeah, wow. I interviewed him, but I also had Mirsad Bektic. He was also with you guys. Mirsad, he went through, if you can watch the interview I did with him, he talks about same thing. He kind of let his, you know, mind and he lost direction and then he felt like he got humbled, you know what I mean? Same thing. And then that helped to bring him back on what he needed to be upon. And he's also somebody who you trained with, didn't you, in Canada?
Yeah, I didn't realize that you also interviewed
us. Yes. He spent some time with us also in Chicago.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. He's incredibly smart. He's incredibly smart. He's a great mind, not just for MMA, but for life in general. He's incredibly.
So, alhamdulillah. So tell me this. Recently, you had, did you see Joe Rogan? He was actually praising the Muslim fighters. Did you see that where he was coming out? And he was, what we're talking about, actually, Joe Rogan was talking about, you know, this discipline and, you know, not getting caught up in the hedonism. Did you get a chance to watch that? What was your reaction?
Some of the most disciplined people that I know are very religious. It's really fascinating, particularly fighters. Like a lot of the Islamic fighters out of Dagestan, they're some of the most dominant fighters and some of the most religious fighters, so devout. And because they don't have the distractions that a lot of the hedonists do.
Yeah.
You know, they're not party. Like the guys out of Khabib Nurmagomedov's camp are some of the most dominant fighters. They wear their hair all exactly the same way. They practice. All they care about is like family, religion, training. They don't chase girls. They don't drink. They're just training constantly, like insanely dedicated to their craft, and they're the most dominant. Khabib is very wealthy, and he drives a Toyota truck. I mean, he lives in the same house. I mean, it's like he's very devout in his beliefs and the way he's raising other fighters. And now he just got out. I think he's decided to retire completely from mixed martial arts coaching and everything. Very religious.
I haven't, but I think I maybe did see a clip where he was asking Bilal.
I think that for a fighter, having a religion like that, and especially being devout, it does have an advantage in that that's one more thing you don't have to think about.
Yeah, and it also just builds you up from you when you're a kid. Just the discipline of, I know I have to do this, this, and this every single day. I'm not allowed
so
to
important.
Eat this. I'm not allowed to eat pork. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to do this. I'm not allowed to gamble. I'm not allowed to play drink or anything like that. So it puts you in those things, and a lot of those things are worse for you as a fighter anyway. Like you shouldn't be drinking, you shouldn't be eating pork, you shouldn't be going to clubs or anything like that. So in the end, I think it's like the being, that's why you're seeing most of the Muslims starting to be the best fighters out there.
Where he was asking Bilal, and he was asking him how it is training with a lot of the Dagestani guys.
Yeah.
And I know pretty much all of them are all Muslim, you know, and he talked about the discipline that they kind of have and day in and day out, you know, and I really feel like that's where the fights are won. And especially me, I've been fighting for a long time, right? I've had almost 30 professional fights at this point. The best fights are always won when I'm strictly disciplined before the fight. They're always won before the fight. And I think that sometimes you can kind of forget that along the way. You know, you can kind of get lost in it. But, you know, those guys, they never waver from it. And I'm happy that I'm finally along that path. I don't think that there's a reason ever for me to go back into the hedonism. I could spend the rest of my life and not enjoy those things.
And that could be very tempting, right? Tantalizing, you know, the whole world opens up to you. A person becomes, you know, a great fighter, and then things just start coming your way, right? And then sometimes, you know, you go down that path and it's a path of destruction. But that's
I think it can be tempting if you don't have a bigger purpose, if you don't have a bigger outlook.
Exactly.
And when you realize like that there's so much in this life and the hereafter that you're going to be held accountable for. If you don't have that, then yeah, it can be very tempting. Wow. Which I was when I was young, but you know, I'm not a young man anymore. I'm a man.
You still talk. You mentioned Bilal Muhammad. You're in touch with him. You guys.
He's a good friend. He's a good friend. He comes to Florida sometimes to train with us too.
Tell him I'm looking for him. I have had him on a program. We lost touch. It's been like a long time, but tell him I give him my salams and tell him I'm looking for him.
Okay, no, absolutely.
Yeah, we got to hook up. Tell me this. We also had recently, and this is what for me really had me wake up to the reality of what we're talking about, the bigger scheme of things. You know, what's the purpose of life? You know, just thinking and contemplating on death. And we had someone just recently, Connor, I mentioned his name because now he also, there was something, a video of him getting hit by a car. Conor McGregor, and he said, "Man, yes. I could have just died." You know, he said something along those lines, and people don't think about that. You know, are you more conscious of that now? The reality that at any time, you know, life can be taken. We're all just hanging by a thread. At any time, you know, everything, all this stuff, and all this stuff we amass is going to stay behind.
Yeah, and I, mashallah, I didn't have to go through a near death experience like that in order to understand that, right? I think you're right. I think it's going to change him, actually. I think it's going to even change Connor. Somebody who has all the resources and the biggest ego in the world. I think at the end of the day, you start to realize once this is all said and done, and once you die and you have to be held accountable for all your actions and everything that you put into this world, that it's bound to humble even the biggest guys, you know. And you hear Mike Tyson talking about it a lot. He's somebody that I really look up to. He's somebody who Conor McGregor kind of pales in comparison to, right? When you start talking about fame, celebrity, or all these worldly things, he pales in comparison to Mike. And Mike will tell you straight up that you're going to be held accountable for these things. You know, you're going to have to. Something is going to change you, no matter how big and strong you are. Something is going to change you, and I think this is along the paths of changing Connor and hopefully changing the MMA scene in general. You know, I think we have been stuck in this whole period of you know the trash talk and the saying what you need just to hype a fight and just to get people's interest, but at what cost and at what cost to yourself? At the end of the day, you know, once you're done fighting, once you have kids looking up after you, at what cost are we going to do this to? And I hope if Connor changes and if everybody in the game changes, that it can go towards the right path. And maybe Khabib beating Connor was a way for that to start. And like, I think that fight was 2018. I'm not really sure when that fight was. But I hope that's along the right paths of changing the whole game.
I wanted this to be us just scratching the surface because I really look forward to doing our next, inshallah, interview there We were supposed to meet if I was there in person. At the Dean Center. You're going to come down to see us at the Dean Center. So we just acquired the property, alhamdulillah, and now we're working to get it open.
We're here with Siraj from Daoud Sohail Law Firm.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, guys. So we signed everything here. Bismillah. Now we're off to the next step. We got to get the keys now. يا هلا ويا هلا حن قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا بالحب اجتمعنا وربنا يحييكم بالحب اجتمعنا وربنا يحييكم مرحبا ويا هلا فيكم انتم منا واحنا فيكم بالمحبة نحييكم يا هلا ويا هلا
The amount of Muslims around here, it's pretty huge, and the place, the location that you opened in, basically it's further south from the other big masajid, and everyone, I know a lot of people that I used to come. My cousin lives 9 minutes from here. Another uncle of mine lives about 5 to 10 minutes from here. This area, the masjid, alhamdulillah, opened up in an area that it's much needed. And this size, this center is much needed for this area. And the idea of this center is needed for the whole state, because we don't have anything like that in the whole state. The da'wah center where it's going to basically nurture and basically educate, and it's going to basically spread Islam.
So inshallah, this could be a warm-up where we can go more in depth, you know, to more your story. I just wanted us to kind of touch upon some things and make kind of an introduction. But inshallah, I'd love to do it proper in person.
Yeah, inshallah. Absolutely. Yeah. And inshallah, it'll happen. And, you know, I think that would be great. I feel like in person is always better, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So just a couple more questions before we conclude. So it's nice to see someone like yourself now, you know, coming to Islam. And just being brave enough and courageous enough, because it sets a good precedence for others, you know, because there's been so much, you know, bullying with the kids, you know, as soon as you say Muslim, people start thinking, you know, and I think the tide is starting to turn now. People are opening their minds, you know. You just had also recently, I don't know if you've heard of this, Lex Friedman.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of, I think, Joe Rogan's. He just had an imam, Suleiman, on his program.
I listened to that.
You listened to that?
Yeah. It was great.
I mean, you just can't be, if someone you're sincere, if you're looking for the purpose of life and you hear these things, you know, just connect with the human soul like it did with you, that you can't at least be inquisitive to want to know more. And at the end of the road, if you decide to take another path, that's your right. But at least, you know, you take that step, you know, to clear your mind from all of this false hype propaganda that's been out there, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like that is a good message that we have to send to the youth. You know, I think the stereotypes are definitely out there. And I can only speak in my personal experience, right?
Yeah.
And you know, growing up in Detroit and being around nothing but black people, you kind of only associated with the most extremist forms of Islam. But when you really, if you really opened up your heart and you really were to dive into the truth of it, is it's just extremely peaceful. It is, and these practices have been around for thousands and thousands of years. They're practiced by billions of people. I hear so many of like my close friends and stuff that will say, okay, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Well, okay, but what does that mean? You know, okay, you're spiritual, but how do you get in touch with that spirit? And I think the practices of Islam and the practices of being a Muslim bring you more and more in touch with that spirit. If you are spiritual, open your heart to the billions of people that have already been set in this spirit. They've been practicing for a lot longer than you. You can learn from other people and you don't have to create this. I feel like a lot of people these days are creating kind of a separation between themselves and the rest of the world versus us all coming together and really standing with God.
You've tweeted, you know, you've gotten a lot of love from the community and that. Has there been any kind of pushback? Has any from your family or others that, you know, have some kind of questions like,
yeah,
that, you know, how do you deal with that? Is it going to be challenging, or does that increase you in motivation to learn more so you can answer certain questions that come about?
Yeah, exactly. I've gotten, you know, people questioning and people like, kind of, oh, you're not really like, oh, what do you believe? Do you believe this and that? And I've had like Christians trying to convert me back over. I've had people straight up tell me like, no, you're not a Muslim. You were born Christian. You're Christian. And I'll look them in the face. No, I'm Muslim. I will die a Muslim. And you know, and then they try and, you know, kind of. That's why it's very interesting to me, because they'll bring up Jesus and they'll you know, kind of teach me the lessons of Jesus. A lot of them I've heard before. A lot of them I feel like, and I don't know, maybe you can educate me here, but let me explain to you what I hear when people say. A lot of people will quote the Bible, but I almost feel like I'll hear the same quote from the Bible and people will draw two different conclusions from it, versus when I hear people quote the Quran, I always hear the same message, the exact same message from the Quran. There's no, it's not up for interpretation.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفؤا أحد.
That is the word of God, and they'll stick to it. Whereas people will kind of use Christianity or they'll use these other scriptures and they'll use these other words and justify whatever actions that they're taking right now. You know, oh, I can do this. It's okay because the Bible says this. But then another person will do the exact opposite. I can do this. It's okay because the Bible said that. And they'll take the same words and flip them around. That's just in my personal experience.
Yeah.
From what I've seen from other religions, and like you said, yeah, I've had people come at me in all different types of ways, but it'll never persuade me. You know, it'll never knock me off my path. I've spent 30 years getting on this path, and there's nothing that can change me.
Yeah, that's the, when you know that you're on the original way, just like, you know, Islam, you were saying this has been around for, you know, for since the first man, Adam. He was told to submit his will to the creator of heavens and earth. He was a Muslim. You know, Jesus was a Muslim. Abraham was a Muslim. The people say, how? What are you talking about? Because a Muslim is one who submits his or her will to the creator of heavens and earth in the Lord's Prayer. Right. Or our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be one. This is Islam. And you're doing the natural way, the way of Jesus, of Abraham, of Moses. You're not submitting to a human being, to money, to your desire, to your nafs, as we call it. You're submitting to the one who created you. And that's the natural way. It's the beautiful way. And I like what you said about when people quote the Bible. Obviously, we respect, you know, people's decisions. They live by whatever way of what they live by as Christians and whatnot. They're called people of the book in Islam. But we say that now we have as you had the Old Testament, the New Testament, you have the last and final testament. That's the verbatim word of God Almighty, the Quran. The previous books, they were distorted. They were changed. That's why God Almighty Allah sent the preserved book that we have today, revealed over the span of 23 years, the Quran. So, that is beautiful. It's very, very nice talking with you, brother. I'm so elated and excited to hear this good news straight from you. And we opened up and we said we had a surprise, and we got the surprise to the people. I'm sure people are going to be so excited. Yes. And we'll give them something to look forward to next time, inshallah. Probably towards the end of the month, I'll be down in Florida, inshallah.
I would love that. Yeah, we can have a much more in-depth conversation, I feel.
Yeah.
I feel there's a lot I can learn from you.
Yeah, I'm here from you, brother. Anytime, any questions, anything, I'm here to help you out as my new brother in the deen, in Islam.
Thank you,
and give all the brothers down there salams. If you talk Faraz, Alda Mitsad, Ali, you're with what's his name? Your manager now, Ali.
Alabaziz.
Give him my salams, Saeed, and everybody. And inshallah, we'll see each other in person. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam, my brother.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.